Today's episode of Gilmore Guys is also available with a visual companion. Now, we try to make these live episodes available via video, but sometimes technical difficulties get in the way. And in this case, there was a technical difficulty that got in the way, and the camera footage did not come out looking good. And it was a bummer, and we wish we could have made it available to you via video. But in lieu of that, we still want to give you the visual companion, which you can find a link to in the podcast app description or on our YouTube page. I'm sure we'll post on social media. So look out for that visual companion and enjoy the show.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Los Angeles. Quintantino
party.
Oh, shit.
Kevin, I don't know if we can handle it. It seems to be kind of quiet over there.
Well, then they need to give it up for the Gilmore guys.
La 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 la, episode 517.
It's Pulp Friction.
I just
remembered on the title of the Quentin Tarantino movie of the same name.
La la la.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys. Also, welcome to a nightmare. Sorry. This is what you paid for. I think it's obvious who I am, and I think it's obvious who you are.
I'm Samuel L. Jackson in The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, that's right. Samuel L. Jackson in The Hateful Eight. He is, of course, Django!
One of many characters from Tarantino's filmography that doesn't appear in this episode.
That does not appear in this episode made in 2005. Also, Demi had to buy an Austin Powers child-sized costume.
That's what this is. You can tell now that you're looking at it, right? You're like, oh, of course it's Austin
the
Powers.
The similarities are prevalent.
Did the difference is it comes with glasses and I can't bend over or my ass, everyone will see it.
It comes with glasses, though.
Yeah, so I didn't wear the glasses, but
for Django's night reading.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Do I look like someone who could hurt you right now? Do I look like, because I don't have the ball and chain for the
you
listener
You look
at home.
Like when you're not in front of an audience, you kill people.
Right. Like, because the thing is, like,
you're the leader of a punk band, but also you're just like, I'm going to murder some people.
True.
Too.
And it looks cute on Rory, but on me, I just feel like it's dangerous and predatory.
I think it looks cute on you.
No, stop it.
I think he looks...
Stop
let's give it up for Go-Go Kevin.
No. I couldn't.
Give him a little... Ooh.
Oh, boy. Well, we could dick around for 15 more minutes.
Oh, really?
Or we can meet our guests. You guys ready to meet your special guest for tonight?
La, 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 la. Special guest.
Come on now. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Patrick Walsh!
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering
just gonna
be
the
get upstairs.
Oh, no! Oh, God!
Oh,
shit!
I need
that someone in the audience. Patrick has cut off Demi's... Oh, God!
This is really killing
it. It hurts so good.
We both start ears. You came all to the podcast expecting nothing. You got 2 years.
Howdy! I don't remember the cup in Reservoir Dogs.
You don't?
He had a cup. That's why I went specially to Del Taco to get a cup. So you
Did
better
you?
Start remembering.
Okay.
They're talking about like a virgin, and he's like, can I get a number 3 with extra refried beans?
From Del Taco?
Yeah, dude. It was product placement was crazy in the 97.
Are you ready for my impression of Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah.
All right, so you got to say, after I stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go... What'd you just say to me? Okay. I'm going to cut the F because I don't think you like to cuss.
Okay.
You ready? Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
What'd you just say to me?
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
What did you just say to me again?
That's it. Okay.
Michael Madsen, everybody.
Woo-hoo! Actually, Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs is the brother of John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. Did you know that?
That's a cross
I think
universe.
I've heard that before.
There's a Tarantino
Vega
universe.
Vega, and Tarantino has written a script called The Vega Brothers that has not been produced, but it would have starred Travolta and Madsen. I'm going to take these sunglasses off.
Yeah, the eyes are the window to the soul, and we love your soul so much, Patrick.
My name is Patrick Walsh. How are you? Don't cut your ears off if you're listening at home, because you'll miss one hell of a podcast.
There are so many visual elements to this podcast already. It's already a disappointment. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us for tonight.
You're welcome. I have a pocket full of ears. I handed a couple out. By the way, your ear was Tyson Beckford, international male model.
Yeah.
And your ear was Steve Jobs.
It's fair.
International male mom.
I'm going to put 1,000 songs in your pocket, Patrick.
Oh, I'd appreciate it.
1,000 ears. Now, Patrick, you're a fan favorite, according to a few fans.
Thanks.
Of the podcast. And so we just had to have you back
for
this.
I get tweets. Pat, you're a fan favorite. When can we have you back? A little tired of the shtick that Demi and Kevin bring.
Right.
I mean, you're going to host the show.
Exactly.
Paladino tweeted me, Pat, we're bringing the show back, and it's because of your 2 appearances on Gilmore Girls.
That's true. No, I think I texted that to you, that was the case. Now, we actually do have some news about the Netflix revival that we're ready to break tonight.
Let me just hide my
boner. Yeah. So, I don't know if you recall, on your first appearance of the show, you improvised a little theme song for what you thought the theme song of Gilmore Girls might be.
I think I remember that.
And I believe the title of it is Dancing in Pajamas. parentheses, me and my girls. So let's play that original.
With a Z.
Girls with a Z. Come on. And so let's play that original clip now. And this is the original song that Patrick Walsh wrote, music and lyrics.
Okay.
Me and my girls dancing in pajamas. Me and my girls going shopping at the mall. Me and my girls doing Gilmore stuff with our Gilmore friends in town.
Hit it, Kevin.
Perhaps better than the orig?
Well, I think so.
That's the thing.
So we get the call. Amy's like, guys, it's coming back. We want you to be a part of it. And we go, Amy, it didn't work the first time because you got to change that name. You got to change that song. You got to change it up.
That's why it only lasted 7 years is because of that song.
Exactly. Nice. It would have been 8 if it had been a different song.
That's true.
Yeah. So for the revival, I thought, Amy, I got an idea. I'll pitch you this song my boy Pat wrote. So we whipped up a little something.
Okay.
So let's turn our attention.
So, it's official. The new name of the Netflix series is Dancing and Pajamas.
Now, I hate to shit in your milkshake here, fellas.
I shit it up.
But I was singing Dancing in Pajamas.
I know.
Oh.
Dancing.
I couldn't find a clip of them dancing in pajamas. This beard is coming off. I couldn't find a clip of them dancing in pajamas.
By the way,
I
don't remember Django wearing a full beard and mustache.
He did. I looked it up a lot.
That was the extended cut.
Okay. It's got some watt. Like, you need, like, some that beard lube or something to kind of get it in check.
Why don't you trim it right now, Pat?
Oh, please.
This is a cheese cutter, by the way.
Cheese cutter. Well, let's get into the episode at hand. This is episode 517, Pulp Friction. Not a quote from the show, but a pun. They've been so many quotes from the show as titles this year for some reason.
Can I say...
Yes.
And at any point, tell me, Pat, you're going too many tangents. Rein it in. But Pulp Friction was also the name of a Seinfeld promo that I remember. So I was obsessed
Promos had names?
They did. And you didn't know anything about the show. They would show you one quick joke from the show.
Okay.
But Seinfeld was all I cared about at that time. And it was my dad and I wouldn't speak unless Seinfeld was on. Then we like shared.
Oh, we'll get to dad stuff later, I'm sure.
So
that's what we always do.
My dad was like, did you see the new Seinfeld promo? And I said, no. And he's like, they're doing a Pulp Fiction thing. And he knew that all I wanted to do was see Pulp Fiction, but I couldn't because it was rated R. I was like 13.
Yeah.
So he goes, yeah, it's called Pulp Fiction or whatever. So the promo was this. They go, on an all-new Seinfeld, Pulp Friction. And then George goes, Pulp can move, baby. And that was the entire promo. But they had to tie everything into Pulp Fiction because it was the really cool thing of its day.
Yeah.
But basically the gist of it was Jerry squirts some pulp from a grapefruit into George's eye, and he winks at everyone, and they take everything he says as being very shady.
Right.
It's a good episode.
Pulp Friction.
But they also called the promo Pulp Friction.
So you're saying the Paladinos plagiarized from the Seinfeld promo?
I'm saying they likely stole it.
Okay. Well... as they've been known to do from time to time. And the Netflix synopsis is, after seeing Logan with another girl, Rory regrets their decision to date other people.
That's not true.
No, that's wrong.
She's totally cool with it.
Yeah, she's fine with it.
Her mom's not cool with it.
Lorelai is reunited with Luke, but remains cold towards Emily. Because that's how I remember it.
That is true.
Remember the one where Lorelai remains cold? Oh, so good. So, gentlemen and everybody here and listeners at home, let's take a trip into the time machine. Get some time machine sound effects.
I started spitting on accident.
Body, gigawatts, 88 miles per hour. It's from Back to the Future.
That was like an inflatable time machine that became a reference.
Yeah.
I love it. And let's go back to the year 2005 and say, hey, man. Hey. How did the WB promote this show in the year 2005? We'll watch that clip right now.
Tuesday, fresh Gilmore Girls. They agreed it's okay to date other people. But at a Tarantino-themed party, expect a twisted ending.
I don't like this.
Like what?
You here with Robert.
Do you want us to leave?
I want us to leave, you and me.
Fresh new Gilmore Girls. Tuesday at 7.
What
Central
a twist!
WB.
They what make a pun. Twist?
Looks pretty good.
They make a pun like a Tarantino party. That means twists. That's not a thing. That's
well,
not
they're
a
twisting on the like the dance.
Oh,
I guess. But
it's brilliant now.
Well, I guess. But then they don't
there's
even.
There's no twist in the episode.
Right. There's no twist in the episode.
Twistless.
Yeah, it is a twist.
I didn't expect Michelle to get an RV.
Yeah. Oh, what a huge
plot.
That was
a thrilling plot.
We gotta dive into that. Like Rory dove into those Cocoa Puffs.
I actually, there was a point where I paused it because I had to just sort of catch my breath.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, look, they're on the 10 best inns in Connecticut. This RV's really going to F that up.
This is our time. Oh, with all the dust it kicks up, there's no telling what could happen.
Also, what accent is he doing?
Oh, that's French. We did
well,
a gap with
it. I'm sure you've discussed it before.
Yeah. Well,
what's going on there?
It's French.
It's French.
It's an exaggerated French.
All right.
Like
it's
a French
peppy,
guy
it was a funny
was
character.
Trying
like.
To chew something.
This was the first one I've watched with Melissa McCarthy in it. By
that's
way.
True. It's the first one Pat's watched. Because all the episodes we've given him so far have not yet have Melissa in them.
I watched like a bunch because Kevin was like, now this season's more serialized, he texted me. So you might want to watch like... And he listed like 12 episodes.
No, I listed four.
I watched them all, baby.
5, 13, 14, 15, 16.
No, I'm all caught up.
Yeah.
I don't like Logan.
You're not Team Logan. Oh!
Terrible. And I'd love to hear why anyone would like Logan. I can't even imagine.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, we might get to that in the Q&A. But for now, let's get into it with a little segment
He's
we call...
He's like Chad Michael Murray Light.
Chad Michael Murray light. Oh, no. Like Tristan
light? He doesn't quite have the bite of a Chad Michael Murray.
You are speaking my language right now.
No. 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 You cannot microphone five over this. No, I will not. Okay.
I'm volunteering my time.
Let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and put them in a supercut, and we really, really think about it.
So it is an actual knife, so.
So this is episode 517, Pulp Friction.
Okay.
Pop Goes the Culture.
You know, the party's a Quentin Tarantino-themed party, and you have to wear a costume, so I'm going as Gogo.
You got your boobs done by the same guy who did Pamela Anderson?
No, though I did meet him at the Coffee Bean.
They swiped Jonathan Swift and left me with Clifford the Big Red Dog and five copies of He's Just Not That Into You.
At least I didn't ask you for a favor on this, the day of your daughter's wedding.
Jonathan Swift, Edith Wharton, Charles Dickens.
I got them done by the same guy who does Nick Lachey.
Oh, I don't know, Mahjong with Mehmet.
Friends with Benefits, no problem, I watch Oprah.
I went to pick her up, the door opens and she's dressed like Mira Sorvino.
How do you dress like Mira Sorvino?
You have blonde hair and a name tag that says Mira Sorvino?
Pottery Barn, baby. You break it, you buy it.
And ask if I would like to be a contestant on The Price is Right.
Ja Glory by Toots Bambaataa.
And familiar with the ways of hooking up things to local sewer lines, huh?
I'm waiting for the film to come out.
Yeah, I know. I heard Renee Zellweger's gaining a ton of weight to play the peasant.
Who's as drunk as I am?
No one since Spencer Tracy died.
Block it with your buddy, Tiananmen Square. Be a hero.
My mom took me to see Caroline or Change in New York, Tony Kushner's musical, and it was the most amazing thing we ever saw. Tony Kushner wrote Angels in America.
I know who Tony Kushner is.
So you've seen his plays?
No, my mom plays canasta with him every month he's in town.
Tony Kushner plays canasta with your mother?
Badly, but yes.
You have a magical life, Huntsberger, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, she's over there with the guy dressed like Harvey Weinstein.
So my question, first of all, is what does a Harvey Weinstein costume look like? Is it just a fat suit and a suit? He's a big man.
Fat guy who allegedly hits women.
Does he really?
Allegedly.
Oh.
We want to keep our jobs.
Yeah. There are talks.
We want to keep our jobs at the Weinstein Company.
Yeah. Where we both work as interns.
Yeah.
The new Weinstein brother.
We're in the mailroom.
Did the Tony Kushner reference seem odd? I feel like I'm playing with my hair.
You feel like you are.
I get why it's fun. I get it now. I also get why it's hot and you guys put it up in ponytails when the sun's out.
I think you would look hot except for the bangs. The bangs ain't great.
It's costume appropriate.
The bangs ain't great.
You can always cut them off.
All right.
That might be a fun, thrilling live event.
Yeah. You need a little more. You got a Dumb and Dumber.
It's true. No, it's true.
But with long
There's
hair.
A Dumb and Dumber situation happening on my head. Yeah. The Tony Kushner thing seemed to be...
Now, you didn't do the Road to Hellville.
Road to Hell? Oh, was that not... Oh.
Because Jackson's third last name, by the way.
What's that?
That was the correct... Let's skip that.
Oh, okay.
Jackson...
Solid joke.
The Road to Wellville was a movie with Anthony Hopkins and Dana Carvey and a bunch of people, and I think that's what she was referencing, even though no one saw the movie except me.
We're referencing when she said what?
When the road, she's like, I'm driving over to Emily's, or my Graham's house, whatever the hell she said.
I don't think
and then she's like, well, I guess you're on the road to Hellville. And I winced so hard that, like, I...
entered a glass.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, man.
Road to Hellville is a pop culture reference as well, so let's pop that in there.
Okay. Let me do that real
Although,
quick.
Although, is Road to Wellville, like, a thing you could say, like, you're feeling better?
I've never...
I'm on the road to Wellville.
Yeah.
Did she even say road to? I thought it was just like...
No, she said road to.
Oh, okay.
Road to, okay, super specific.
I watched this three times.
Yeah, that's true. Patrick watched this episode three times for the show.
I mean, with an audience, you want to get things right.
Yeah.
Of course.
I've been in this too long. I've been in this game too long.
Yeah, that's true.
To show up and be like, well, then the old lady, and you guys are like, that's Emily Pat.
Actually, it's Emily.
So now I know all their names.
Well, let's talk
you
about...
Got Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi.
Buffalo Jack.
Yeah.
We got Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yeah.
Ursula.
And Ann B. Davis as Alice. Well, let's get into it with what might be the most salient part of the episode for everybody, which is the Logan situation, and this is rough, right?
You mean this, the show?
Well, in this whole show, but in this episode in particular, it's real messed up, I think. I mean, it's not even cheating, though. They've not put boundaries
on
it.
Open relationship.
Yeah, it's an open relationship, as you do in college, apparently.
Very de rigueur these days, if
yeah.
that's how you pronounce that.
I believe there's been at least...
I should ask the French character on Gilmore.
Yeah, we'll call him up. I mean, there's been at least two movies made about it. No Strings Attached, Friends with Benefits. So there's a popular
both great
trend.
Great films.
Yeah, both flawless masterpieces that Friends show how Benefits well this system works.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what Logan and Rory have agreed, but not really agreed to, and it's kind of a verbal contract, but not really. So what happens is Rory sees Logan out with some girl who, I love how when on this show, whenever they show that like, oh, Logan's with another girl, he's always whispering in her ear. That happened at the wedding, and then that happened to like, he's always smiling real big and whispering something in her ear.
Yeah, because he's duplicitous.
Right.
He's not dating them, he's just trying to
pass along. Strikes me as being very duplicitous. And I think realistically that a young lady around her age would date a lot of guys like that.
Right.
Because when I was in high school, I would always be like, well, is she with that duplicitous guy and not with me? But I think it's realistic to that time period. And he's rich and everything. Like when he's like, well, you know, I think my parents donated enough money to this school that you can have a couple extra Cocoa Puffs. I was like, shut up.
And she still leaves a dollar.
And I think they're selling her character down the river a little bit because she's too smart to fall for that shit, but she's falling for
it. You think she's too smart?
We've been told she's too smart.
She's a genius. Nobody talks like that who isn't a genius or autistic.
So everyone in everyone in this town.
Two sides of the same coin.
Everyone in this town is a tiny little snow globe.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Saint Elsewhere style.
Yeah.
But it feels like, I mean, because that's what we've been talking about. Does my hair still look okay, guys?
So good.
Okay, but that's what we've been talking about. Also, it's really hard not to play with it. I gotta be honest.
Own it, dude. Hey, start combing that shit.
Hey, yeah. Grandpa, I just wanted to tell you what I did tonight. I dressed up like a movie character, and I went out at 10:30 on a Monday, and we discussed a 12-year-old episode of a WB drama on stage. I just wanted to tell you that because I knew you fought in the Korean War. I thought you might be interested in what I'm doing at age 34.
Is your grandpa still with us?
He passed away.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking to heaven.
Oh, you were talking to... Well, it didn't look like him.
He died happy. He would drink a case of Bush a day, and I think he didn't feel an ounce of pain up to the end.
Oh,
he's a great man.
So this still feels out of character for... Yeah, R.I.P. I need to
George,
cue up the Wiz Khalifa.
Love okay. You, girl. He was great. He burned me with a cigarette once, but it was an accident.
Is that true?
It was an accident. And I knew even then. The family freaked out, but I knew even then it was an accident.
Wait.
And I told everybody it was. Yes.
Where did he burn you?
On my hand.
Okay.
We're at the baseball game, and he was like, hey, check that out, Patrick, and burn me on the hand.
Oh, it wasn't like a discipline
thing. My mom freaked out, but at the end of the day, it's a special memory that we share.
And still unites you, and not even death can take that away from you.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. But okay, but I guess that's the big question. It's like, is this out of character for Rory to want these things, to not want these things? Because she goes from being cool with it throughout to then Logan objecting. I actually want to play that clip from...
I think it's what always happens in these situations, which I have never attempted, is that you're like, yeah, I'm totally cool with it. And then when you see it in action, you're like, no, I'm not.
Right.
Although, of course, people will say, oh, I can make it work. I'm in a committed thruple myself.
Thruple.
I'm happy for you, but... Probably you love one more than the other, and the other one's feeling it, and he's a little jealous. Or she. I can't see any of you. It's hard to connect. But
don't be regressive. Well, let's watch the clip at the party where he does not like this. If I can find it. Here we go.
Ace, having a good time?
I am. Thanks.
Good. That's good. Me too. I'm having a good time, too.
Good.
Yes, it is good. So I didn't know you knew Robert.
I met him at the Life and Death Brigade gathering and the poker game.
Oh, right. Well, he must have made quite an impression.
He just asked me out is all.
Sure. He's kind of a jerk.
Excuse me?
Robert. He's kind of a jerk. Have you noticed he's kind of a jerk?
Nope.
Huh. Night young. Okay, come on.
Where are we going? Logan!
You look great.
Thank you.
She tells
Logan,
him to stop.
Stop.
Right, he presses so on.
I've been fine.
Good. School's good?
School's hard.
Well, it's supposed to be hard. It's grooming you for life.
It's supposed to be hard?
Making you an upstanding citizen.
God-fearing Christian.
Habitual recycler.
We can't do this here, Megan.
You're right. Let's go.
Go where?
Your place. My place. Let's take a train to New York. Spend the night in the plaza.
We can't just leave. We have dates.
I don't like this.
Like what?
You here with Robert.
You're here with Whitney.
I know.
So what's the problem?
The problem is you're here with Robert and it's bothering me, and I don't like that. It's bothering me.
Sorry, do you want us to leave?
No, I want us to leave, you and me.
I can't do that.
Oh, you want to spend the rest of the night with Robert instead of me?
I came here with Robert.
So dump Robert. I hate Robert.
He's your friend.
So what? I still hate him.
Logan, you're the one who said...
I know what he said.
Okay, then. I have to go. I have a date. Enjoy the rest of the party.
It's pretty good.
They learned that dance, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they were just like, you go home and watch that scene 20 times.
Yeah, very accurate to the movie.
So let me get this straight, Logan.
Yeah, let's
you
recap.
You love the open relation thing when it means you can whisper in some broad's ear at brunch.
Broad ear whispering, we call it.
But you don't love it when it's not exactly what you want.
Right.
And that's not fair, Logan. Fair.
Are you also speaking to heaven right now?
No. Logan's not in the crowd.
Because my grandpa was committed to my grandma for 50 plus years. He wouldn't pull this shit.
Right.
Yeah. Give it up for Patrick's dead grandpa. Well, that's the thing. It's like, this is, again, I feel like there's been a few episodes in a row where it's like, I can't stand by Logan. I can't do it. And this content, because it is, yeah, it's the open relationship is cool until it's with Robert, which... raises a lot of questions, by the way, that Robert, which, by the way, Robert, I feel like Robert is the most dislikable person or unlikable person in this episode.
Real quick, and I just said I wouldn't do this, but who is Robert?
Robert's the guy that she came to
Bobby,
a party with.
The guy who was like, you know what my dream is to do this.
Oh, you know what? Can I play the clip? Because I
baby
have...
Baby Anthony Jeselnik.
He's a little bit of a Jeselnik. That's 100% right.
Ladies, is this how bad it is out there? That's terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Let's get into it with Robert. Oh, Demi, fill for time.
Nope, not oh. doing that.
Okay.
Business or pleasure?
Happy birthday, Finn. You owe me $40.
Have I told you I like your costume?
No, you didn't.
All right, did that count, or are you expecting me to say it again?
My entire goal in life is to outlive my brother, inherit the family fortune, put all my sisters out on the street, and live as frivolously as possible, have numerous wives, thousands of illegitimate children, and die completely alone and leave every cent to a parrot named Polly.
That's your entire
Can I talk,
goal
Robert?
In life.
Except for the name of the parrot, I stick to everything I just said.
That guy is a sociopath.
Yeah. Do you think they made him so extreme to make Logan likable by comparison? Or desirable?
Work.
It didn't work?
I liked him more than
You
Logan.
Like Robert more?
Yeah, I hated him.
I hated Robert. No.
Robert's terrible, but Logan is also just... He's just the worst.
I'd also like to say Jackie Brown is woefully underrepresented.
Oh, no, no, no. Because there is one scene where you can see a guy in a Kangol hat dancing in the background.
I saw that, and I also saw the woman who dances for De Niro.
Yeah.
Does, like,
oh,
the
Bridget Fonda, thing. Yeah.
No.
Oh, the other one.
An even more obscure scene where she does like the Stop in the Name of Love, like the old, like, she
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
songs for him. And they had everyone in there was a great costume, except there's one woman in there in just a bra, and I don't know what Tarantino.
That's Bridget Fonda.
Bridget Fonda never
Jackie
walked
Brown.
Around in a bra.
It's death proof.
No, she didn't. No, and Jackie Brown, she 100% did.
I think I would remember
that.
I was in love with Bridget Fonda and Jackie Brown for
many
years.
Is that true?
I think Jackie Brown is his second best move.
It is funny that. Got a fist pump from the front row for the listener at home. It is funny that we're doing this show and we're dressed in costume, and this scene takes up 5 minutes of screen time.
Not
total.
A lot.
We've really committed to it here, though.
Well, yeah. You guys Tarantino fans? Did you like Django?
Yes.
Did you like Kill Bill?
Loved it.
And I liked Reservoir Dogs. I liked every movie he's ever done.
Death Proof?
My best friend's
I
birthday.
I love Death Proof.
You love Death Proof?
I had a blast at Death Proof.
Oh, man.
I didn't see it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like movies.
I didn't like the...
this is a different podcast now.
I didn't like the Planet Terror portion, but I like Death Proof a lot.
Oh, of Grindhouse? Oh, yeah. Interesting. I feel like Planet Terror is a little more popular.
I feel like Bad Tarantino is so much better than most people's best.
Sure.
I like it all. It's like sex and pizza, or whatever the hell that expression is.
Sex with pizza?
No, yeah, dude.
It's like when you're having sex with a really good pizza.
No. It's like sex with pizza. Sometimes it goes too long, but you paid the $14.
Oh,
so
sure.
I think, sex is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good, baby.
Oh, that's the expression.
Which is also not true, because there's a lot of pizza that's terrible, and there's a whole lot of sex that's terrible, and I've had it, folks. I have had it.
This is a real confessional time for you right now.
Look. Well, I don't know why we have the facades up. We gotta talk.
Yeah, we gotta talk.
Talk to each other.
We gotta get into it.
Opens up emotions. Why would we turn them away?
We would not.
Should we open up some emotions?
What's that?
I mean, should we open up some emotions?
Sure.
We can open up some emotions.
Oh, you got a clip?
Well, no, we don't have a clip, but we can talk about what we need to talk about if we need to. Can we get that spotlight? The spotlight of truth?
Grandpa George.
Go, go.
He had Alzheimer's. He was fine.
Mom.
Let's do a duet.
I just want you to know wherever you are, I'm thinking of you. I love you. I'm not quite the son you wanted me to be. I know that Kyle, with his beautiful wife and 2.5 children, was more in line of the expectations of what's wanted in a Southern Christian home. And I'm a 26-year-old man wearing a schoolgirl outfit 11 o'clock at night on a Monday. But I'd like to think that deep down somewhere, you smile for me. And there's pride there. And I hope I feel it one day from you, literally, verbally, and however you might want to give it.
Mama, Papa, I'm killing it. I mean, when you sat me down when I was 3, you were like, one day Tarantino's gonna make a movie about a slave and you're gonna dress like him. You just will. And I fulfill that today. So, you know, you're both alive, but you also live north of here, so. I want to thank you for everything you guys did for me growing up. This is real. I don't talk to you that often, and I feel bad about that sometimes. I've been watching a lot of literature. I've been watching a lot of TV that makes me miss you guys. So I'm going to miss you over Thanksgiving, and I'll see you over Christmas, and then, you know, never again.
My dad's coming to visit this Saturday. He's bringing his wife, who is okay. In case she listens to this, she's great. I'd like to cite a tweet of mine. My dad's visiting soon, which means I need to practice apologizing to waiters with my eyes. Because, Dad, you're embarrassing as hell. You don't know how to speak to people, and you make them uncomfortable. He once asked a waitress at a Thai restaurant if she could speak English, instead of just asking his question. He also told me, I'd rather not be eating at this Thai restaurant because I don't eat things that float. And I said, what the hell does that mean, Dad? What the hell does that mean? Why can't you be normal? But he's apparently on Wellbutrin now. And apparently that's made him more normal.
I'll remember you.
Da, 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 da.
I will you remember me.
Don't go, Patrick.
Da, 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 da.
Don't let your life pass you by.
Mm-mm. I'll go low with him.
Weep not for the memories.
Man, $5 is too little for this.
Wow.
So we're out of time.
Thanks for coming to the show, everybody. Let's get into it. Let's get into the next story. One of the other stories. How's my wig doing, guys?
It is a mess.
Terrific.
I feel like it's not doing so hot right now. I don't want to bail on it, though.
It's merging with the forehead sweat, and it's...
I don't have that much forehead sweat, truth be told. I have a lot of ear sweat right now, which doesn't make sense because it got cut off.
I cut one off, yeah.
Let's talk.
I also have in my pocket Skrillex's ear, if anybody would like that.
Oh, please.
That's where it is.
This is it. I pulled it out of my pocket, out of a pocket full of ears. Here you go. It's got the stud in it. You know, the big stupid stud that people wear? Sorry if you have that here. There you go.
Guys, can we talk about mothers and daughters?
Please.
Let's get into it with a little clip where Lorelai's questioning her role in Rory's life. She doesn't know how to advise, what to say, how to say it. Kind of mirrors the way that Emily is giving her maybe a little too much advice. Let's talk.
Was that Logan kid?
No, Robert.
Who's Robert?
I know nothing about him except his last name's Grimaldi.
When did she break up with Logan?
She didn't.
I don't understand.
It's college.
The hell does that mean?
It means butt out, back off, none of your business.
Oh.
Rory suddenly decided she's dating girl.
That's okay, right? Isn't that what kids are supposed to do?
It's just, it's not Rory. I don't think it's what is going to make her happy. It seems wrong for her.
You say something to her?
No. I mean, she's been so chatty lately, wanting to be able to talk about Logan and her life, so, you know, I just don't know what to do.
You talk back.
I am, but I feel like I need to be really careful what I say.
Oh, come on, that's ridiculous.
Well, she's not at home anymore. She's on her own.
Doesn't matter.
It matters a little. You know, there have been very few times in our relationship when I ever played the mom card, but I always had it there in my back pocket. And when I used it, she had to hear it and take it, because she lived here. And even if she didn't like it, or even if she got mad, the worst that would happen is she would run into her room and slam the door and blast the jam. But then in the morning, I controlled the bathroom and the Pop-Tarts, and she had to deal with me. Eventually, we'd make up, and it was over. But now...
Nothing's different.
Of course it's different. She's on her own. She's making her own decisions. My mom card's looking a little flimsier, and I don't know how much to say to her. If she doesn't want to hear it, she doesn't have to take it. She doesn't have to call or come home.
She'll call. She'll come home.
Yeah. I hope so. I don't know. Do we lock the front door?
I'll be right back.
Night terrors are hilarious.
Get back here, Kirk.
I just noticed she has a little container in the back there that says cafe. Does she have coffee at home?
Yeah, but she never makes it. Or at least I think she has the decorations for it. I think they touched on that in an episode before.
Hmm.
You look like you had a thought.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you just had an expectant face.
I was just like waiting to hear the answer to this great coffee question.
Do you think that she is just pretending to be okay with the Logan situation? Like, right? Like, she's just like, oh, it's college, you don't understand. And inside, she's like, I mean, I don't either, but I gotta pretend like
it's... You mean Lorelai?
Yeah, Lorelai.
I don't think she's cool with that at all.
Right, I'm saying in this scene,
yeah,
she's very
barely
much
pretending.
Yes.
I think it's the thing, but I think the example set by her mother, like, I think sometimes there's two ways we err when it comes to, like, responding to the care that we get from our parents. Either we repeat their same mistakes and becomes like a cycle of behavior, or we err so much on the side of like, well, I'm not going to be like my mom or my dad, that we run to the very opposite way, which is kind of what Lorelai is doing right now, which I feel like she could talk to Rory as a friend, not just like a mom that's like,
right,
you need to get your shit together, but be like, what's going on, dude?
I think Lorelai is 100% right that this is not the lifestyle that Rory would like, but I think looking at it from today's perspective, in this Tumblr culture, ladies and gentlemen, everybody would be like, you don't get to decide your daughter's sexuality. And that's true, too, but I also think she's right. And even if she's kind of like, all right, mom, fine, whatever, at her heart, you can tell Rory's not cool with this open arrangement, and she shouldn't be.
Right.
Of course.
And Rory's also, she's still basically a kid.
Yeah, college is college, but that doesn't mean everybody's swinging in college.
Not yet.
I myself didn't have...
Oh, boy.
couldn't get one person to have sex with me in college, let alone an assortment.
Well, you should have tried for three, and then work your way down.
Start with three,
aren't you? Yeah.
That's good advice. Now, Kirk, he's some sort of sex pervert for Luke, right?
No! Is that what you got from it?
Yes. He's a sex pervert for Luke's cooking or for Luke himself?
Not just for the... Well, actually...
I think he's a sex pervert
now I'm
for
thinking
Lorelai.
About it.
Would I pick, because he's completely ignoring his beautiful girlfriend. He has no interest in her at all.
Right.
Lulu.
What I think he has at home is like a sculpture made of Luke's meatloaf. Of Luke. He's molded Luke's meatloaf into Luke, and he's created a hole in the meatloaf Luke. Two holes, one mouth, one rear.
What?
And he makes love to this meatloaf Luke.
No.
Why meatloaf?
He's a sex pervert. pervert.
No. Meatloaf. Not necessarily.
Because in this episode, he's real into the meatloaf. But he's sitting in this diner, like, all the time.
It's small town. It's familiarity.
There are two locations in this world. It's Lorelai's house or the diner.
And sometimes Weston's.
He's got a fetish for the food, or what's going on?
You don't have a fetish for food? You were talking sex and pizza earlier. What's your deal, man?
I smell sex and pizza, baby.
I think what it is truly is that Kirk lacks a paternal figure in his life because he keeps referring to his mom. He needs to stop living with his mom, blah, blah, blah. And Luke, like he does kind of for Rory, represents the paternal influence in his life, like he does for probably a lot of people. Well, we'll find out in season 6.
I do love Luke. I mean, do they, and forgive me for not knowing this, do they ever pretend that like Lorelai's going to be interested in somebody other than Luke?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, like later down the line?
I mean, the guy's a goddamn dream.
You're 100% Team Luke, is what you're saying.
The only time...
They could 100 writers working around the clock couldn't come up with a better character for her to fall in love with. Yeah. Luke, he's a delight. Yeah.
He's a damn delight. Can we talk about
just
Luke?
Just how he handled this scene. Like, the fact that he gave a shit enough. Excuse my language, folks. I'm a little raw.
It's fine. It stopped being a Christian podcast a couple of
seasons. You apologize when you say bad words, but not when you talk about fucking meatloaf.
Yeah. Pardon my French. But anyway, when Kirk's plowing...
I just feel like she's sitting there talking about her daughter, and this guy's like, you know what? All you got to do is talk to her. It's like he's got an opinion on how she should handle her daughter that isn't intrusive, and it's not like, I'm going to tell you how to parent your child. It's just like, here's what I would do. You know what to do. Like, you know, he's got a perfect thing to say for everything. And the fact that they were broken up at all breaks my heart.
He has a good light touch. Here's the thing about them.
It shouldn't have been broken up.
Right. Well, here's the thing about them getting back together. Was it disappointing that we didn't get to see more interaction other than like, oh, this, the day of our reconciliation. Like, did we want to see more like, oh, they've come back together and it's this glory. You're fine with it the way it was?
I think this whole episode should have been that. And less RV prices right hijinks.
That's the real flaw of this episode.
Watching all these, you really want to see them back together and happy. And you don't really get that satisfaction.
No.
She's making fun of him for this reggae album.
Yeah, let's talk about the reggae album. I actually really want to explore the mindset of Luke Danes in that moment. And so I wanted to honor that in some way. So let's go ahead and watch this.
When you look in the mirror, do you see reggae fever?
Too short clip.
Yeah.
It's my favorite rapper.
Yeah. Could have gone on for 20 minutes. No. Your favorite rapper is Bob Marley?
The thing about the reconciliations, I kind of made my peace with it when the kiss happened. You were just kind of like, well, they're back.
Right.
I feel like we don't need another like ramping up to be like, oh, are they ever going to get back to the
great? Sure.
I don't know.
So you like the kind of lived in nature that typifies a lot of their relationship.
Right. I mean, I've talked about how really I loved that when they got to the Luke and Lorelai thing, it wasn't like, oh, how's it going to go? They were just pretty much immediately like, well, they're together. Here's the relationship. And now we deal with other things. And that's what I wanted from this. They deal with the kiss. And that's just kind of them going, well, they're back. You know, that plot line's over. I don't want to see like another 3 hours of like, is it really?
Right. You just mixed? Want, because they're the solid center, really, around which a lot of the episode revolves. Like, that's the grounding of it. Is Luke and Lorelai have each other's backs. They love each other till death.
And anytime they break up, I know it's going to be 3 episodes of just that storyline.
Right.
So when that happens, I'm just kind of like, okay, I mean, I get it, and it's good TV, but I'm also just like, once you fix it, don't keep doing it.
But now, I listened to you on an episode a few weeks back where you were like, you thought that Luke... You were Team Luke.
Yeah.
And you thought that she should have kind of let him have his space.
Yes.
And I get that, but I also really love her determination and her being like, look, if I do give you your space and kind of slink into the background, maybe you're going to think I don't care.
I mean, I said this in the episode very briefly, but I am, like, I am Lorelai in that situation. If something like that happens, I'm very much like, no, I can talk my way into fixing it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the right answer.
What he's going to want to hear in that situation.
Exactly.
But
the question is,
I think I'd love to hear it. I've been in these conversations before. I'm a distant man myself. You know?
Are you doing all right?
I'm doing fine. I mean, look. I've had ladies come forward and be like, look, you're really distant. I worry that if I don't tell you how much you mean to me, I'm going to lose you. And I go, thanks. I needed that. I'm too distant. Let's bring it home. Let's go to a movie.
Well, I guess that's kind of the question in this episode.
I related to this very strongly.
Yeah, in this episode and the last episode is like it's the difference between communication versus non-communication. With Emily in this episode, it's over-communication. It's poisonous communication. And with Lorelai, it's a lack of communication that might in the long term be poisonous. Just like in 514, the way with Lorelai, it was she was trying to communicate so much with Luke and Luke was not having it or feeling it at all.
Why does Rory not tell Emily that they're back together?
That was one thing that was like, because they go to dinner, and let's play a clip of the Friday night dinner.
I imagine if Rory just said, hey, like, I'm sure at some point at dinner the conversation dried up,
but
she could have been like, oh, BT dubs.
But I think Emily,
back together with Luke.
What I would imagine in that scenario is that Emily was so focused on, like, at least maybe halfway trying to keep her word of, like, I'm not going to interfere with it. I'm not going to get into that part of Lorelai's life. Or what she said to Luke at the end of 5:15 or 5:16, excuse me. That she was focused on that maybe she did not bring it up to Rory. Because otherwise, I couldn't think of a reason why she wouldn't. So I want to play this clip of when Rory arrives. And then, and it's visual, but we'll put on the video. And it's just Emily's look right before they go to the commercial. So let's watch this.
Is someone else coming for dinner?
Someone else? No, it's just going to be us.
Us meaning just the three of us here, right? I mean, you know, Mom's not coming.
Oh, well, actually...
Of course, we know your mother's not coming. The maid made a mistake. Olympia, it was three for dinner, not four. Well, she's fired. Clear that place at once, please. Richard, take Rory in the living room. I'll just do it myself.
All right.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet?
Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say technically 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Here's what I noticed, or I felt like crystallized for me in this episode. It's because we've been talking about, is this in character for Emily? Is this not in character for Emily? But I feel like what's happened is there's kind of been like an inverse arc from the first couple of seasons into now, into season 5 and 6, and kind of the second half of what Gilmore Girls is. Whereas before, you saw like she was cold and stodgy and uptight in some ways, but you mostly saw a lot of humanity on her part with some sharp little insights to her, you know, colder nature, or her rather crueler or meaner nature. Like I think at the end of like Rory's dance, when she's talking to Lorelai, she's like, she's gonna get pregnant just like you did. And so that it used to be that. It was like mostly humanity and then some shrillness. Whereas in this season, it seems like it's mostly shrillness and then little moments of humanity. So there's like that one right before they go to the credits where it's like, yeah, she's a shrill little harpy who doesn't know what's going on. But you kind of feel bad for her, right, guys? Like they're kind of playing it opposite, it feels like.
I feel like it's all born of the same stuff, though, which is that she loves Lorelai. And this is, she's only like this because it's not even that like she's had a change of character. It's the same thing of like, I love Lorelai, which is why I'm shrill about it, and I love Lorelai, and she's being mean to me for once. Like, she's cut off communication, and I think that's why, like, we get this kind of Emily. I think it's very in character for her to do that.
I'm going to go ahead and skip to the end, which is probably the best scene of the episode, I think, in terms of, like...
Did you guys like this episode?
We'll get to that.
Here's the truth of it. This is a slight episode.
It's all over the damn place. There's a lot of stories that are given, like, very little attention.
Well, I mean, the whole thing of... Think about the ending of this episode. The ending of this episode is, after all Michelle's business with the RV and getting it from the prices right, and then they come, and then the dust kicks up, and the ending of the episode is Michelle stumbles in on Kirk sleeping in the RV.
Who cares?
That's the ending of the episode. And it's one of those things where it's like, I guess it's a Paladino episode, like thing where it's like, it ends where it ends. It doesn't have to be an interesting note or story thing.
Also, but then, like, Kirk has a giant gut, and he looks super skinny every other episode. Did they give him, like, a clump treatment?
It's a little... Oh, like, be Nutty nice. Professor the Clumps?
He has, like, a weird fake-looking tummy.
It's a little alarming in parts. Right. But yeah, they devote so much to that. So much to Michelle's trip to L.A. and then Kirk finally moving out, which I actually do like. I like the interaction between Kirk and Luke and like the humanity you see there when he's like, no, you need your own place. You need to be a man, blah, 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 da, da, da. But then it just ends up being a lot of that to the detriment of a lot of these other stories that we'd probably rather see. So let's watch a clip from an episode.
Also, why are we not seeing Michelle's trip to L.A.? And why are we hearing about it?
They couldn't afford to fly to L.A. from Connecticut.
But the show tapes in L.A.
No, it was shot all on location in Connecticut. It's a known fact.
I drive through Stars Hollow every day on the Warner Brothers lot.
It was You're thinking the location.
Have you guys been, by the way?
I still have not.
Yeah.
I can get you in whenever you want.
Wow.
I drive through Stars Hollow every day.
Let's carpool.
Right.
To Harvey Weinstein.
He doesn't look that different.
No, it looks roughly the same. That's what's so funny about it. Like, so for the revival stuff, they're not going to have to change that much. Like, all the buildings are still intact. They just need to put the gazebo back. So this is from the end of the episode. Emily comes down to Stars Hollow to talk to the greasy spoon, as she calls Luke. Does she call Luke a greasy spoon, or is she saying the diner is a greasy spoon?
The diner.
Okay. Because I thought that was an interesting term, like to talk to a greasy spoon. I was a little troubled for it at first. So let's watch that clip.
And Richard went through a great deal of trouble to set the whole thing up, and you never even called Herb Smith. Apparently you can't follow through with anything. Not even a razor.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm having what I'm sure will turn out to be yet another fruitless conversation with this man.
I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry.
It's okay.
Mom, go home. You have no right to barge in here and cause a scene.
I have something I want to say.
No, we don't want to hear what you have to say. We just want you to please butt out of our lives.
Our lives? So there's an Our Lives? Are you two back together?
Yes, we are.
So you did go to her just like I told you to.
We got back together because we wanted to get back together.
Then I simply don't understand. No. If you're together, then what's the problem?
What are you talking about?
Why won't you come to Friday dinner? Whatever happened between the two of you, I obviously fixed
it. You fixed it? You broke it. Just because Luke and I found a way to repair the damage doesn't erase the fact that it happened.
What I did out of concern.
Oh, please.
As your mother, I have the right to be concerned. Especially when it looks like you're taking your life down a completely disastrous path. I had to jump in and...
Mom!
Lorelai!
Please hear me. If I want your input in my life in any way, shape, or form, I will ask for it. Until then, do us all a favor and shut up!
Long time coming.
Well, I gotta say, suddenly, big fan of the speed dial.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so Demi, you had an objection while we were watching the clip because Luke says we got back together because we wanted to get back together.
No, or else it would have happened before Emily came to his diner and stepped out of the way.
But I think he's saying that it's not the reason, but that Emily was the catalyst.
It was the impetus, yeah. I mean, in which case he shouldn't go, it was because we wanted to do it. It was genuinely because she stepped out of the way. He wouldn't have done it. He was mad. He was pissed about that
sure.
for weeks. Why wouldn't he have done it then? Just because Emily, like, sleeper agent him... Like,
it is a thing that we've talked about where it's like Emily will visit a man in Lorelai's life and just flip a switch on them to like kill or to like pursue. Essentially, she did it to Christopher and she does it to Luke at the end of 5:16. And it's a very curious move on the part of the writers to be like, all these men are down for whatever. They just need a woman to tell them what to do.
I think it's just the idea that
it's not wrong either.
Sure. I'm not saying it's not wrong. I just think it's a fun idea.
I do wonder what I mean. And look, maybe they break up and get back together all the time, but why wouldn't they create some sort of viable, intelligent, attractive love interest for Luke that makes the stakes of this show bigger?
He doesn't have time. He's got to flip those burgers.
I mean, Rachel and Nicole, they were both very forgettable, actually.
I literally forgot Rachel existed until this moment.
Yeah, season one Rachel.
I was like, who the hell is Rachel? Oh, photographer.
You see these two together, you know they belong together.
Yeah. They just look like they go together.
Yeah.
But it seems like...
How's his hair holding up? Has he still got it?
He still got it.
Okay.
He still got it.
So for the reunion,
Are you saying in present day...
I'm saying when they get back together for this reunion, is he going to look okay?
I'm saying it's not going to matter because there's going to be a hat on there.
I think it's going to grow it out
Graham
like
looks
I did.
Great.
Yeah.
I assume Bledel looks great.
Bledel looks great. Trust us.
They all look fantastic.
90 or something, probably.
What's that?
Emily's like 90.
She's not 90.
Herman's
She's
dead.
Yeah.
Not that I'm happy about it. Very sensitive crowd.
That's our fans and our listeners.
All right. I guess I should have said he's resting on a cloud somewhere with the goddamn Care Bears. He's dead, folks.
Great
he's up there with my Grandpa George.
Cloud. Oh, FDR
in the sky.
Rolling around on that cloud in the sky. But yeah, no, I mean, Kelly Bishop's like 70-something, not 90. Take it back. Take it back!
That should be fine.
Just kidding. But no, I think it'll work, them coming back. What did you think of the revival news when that came up?
Well, I was very excited because, as I said, Amy told me I was a big part
right.
of it. But what are they doing, 4:10?
4:90 minutes.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah.
And you guys are, I assume, going to talk about those.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be fine if we quit right before.
When are they going to drop?
When, TBD. Not known at this time.
Okay.
Production's supposed to start next year at some
And I
point.
Assume that'll be where I work at Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if you guys want to come by, I'll get you on there.
Word.
Shouldn't they give you guys, like, extras on the show? Because when I read the article about it coming back to TV, there was no mention of the Gilmore guys, and that seems pretty shady to me.
It's fine.
Continue to pitch my character of Tony, who is Rory's new beau.
Tony, the bad boy dancer.
Literally, the minute after the last scene in season 7, like, I bump into Alexa Bledel, and she's like, oh, hey, sorry you dropped your... Oh, Pushkin, huh? That's crazy. And then we date for the next 8 years, and we open on us saying, I do. And then it's, you know, we move back to Stars Hollow.
Pushkin.
And I gotta deal with all her boyfriends that she's seeing around the town.
I'm trying to get you guys as, like, a couple... You know, trash men. And
I will not settle.
We've
I'm
had a lot of ideas hard. Pitched
tonight's
us.
Hashtag is Tony or Bust.
Tony or Bust.
I'm not trying to get you a recurring role.
Come
I
on.
Just think you should be like,
I need that SAG card, man.
In the town.
Pat, if you were to pitch us as two characters in the world of Stars Hollow, who would we be? If you were to write an episode.
Well, can I just play Jenga?
Maybe you could be the cops who arrest Kirk when they discover his sex dungeon.
Oh, God.
Where he's created all these weird Luke food sex.
Meatloaf. I mean, that Meatloaf. Doesn't preserve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want it to.
Oh, okay. Well.
I got some questions.
That was the unspeakable part.
You know what I noticed in this episode that I hadn't noticed until this point is that they're trying, or at least maybe they're trying to in this episode, establish a running joke with the character of Finn. Let's watch a clip.
Time for a change of venue.
Oh, fantastic.
Do I know you?
Do I know you?
Have I met you yet?
Several times.
All right then.
Do I know you?
So yeah, so that was a callback to the moment in 508 where like he doesn't remember her.
Now, I'm sorry, so I watched the 5 preceding this and this
sure.
one. Is Finn a recurring character?
He is.
He is.
Why is she? Is he ever an interest for Rory?
No.
Not yet.
He's not an interest
he's
for
so
any
much
of us.
More interesting than these other guys.
But he didn't ask her. That's the thing. Robert asked. Here's the thing. Rory will go with whoever asks, it seems like. Except for, like, Trenton in the laundry room.
And selling her character out, too.
You think?
She doesn't need to settle for... She's a beautiful, intelligent girl. She's got to settle for whoever asks.
I don't think she sees herself that way.
You think she's insecure?
I would believe so.
But as far as romance goes, I think that might be the case.
Okay.
Because we've seen her be the responder in all these situations.
Yeah.
She's only pursued or seemed to show interest in a guy who did not show interest in her once.
Well, ladies, do you still feel in 2015 that you can't approach a guy and ask him out?
No.
No, right?
One girl says no.
I mean, I guess she doesn't speak for everybody.
Well, no, she's the elected representative. They took a vote before the show.
Every relationship I've had has been a girl asking me out because I'm oblivious and I don't know what
I'm
doing.
Is that true?
Every long-term relationship has been a girl being like, hey, I think you're hot shit. And I'm like, thank you, I agree.
I think you're hot shit.
But I can't approach girls and talk to them.
Sure.
So maybe I have a little bit of Rory in me myself.
Let's go into some Twitter Q&A.
How dare you?
Twitter Q&A.
All right, this comes from Lori. Have you guys ever done something to intentionally make a love interest jealous? Because I guess the idea here is that Rory is only going to this party to like get a rise out of Logan or like to even the playing field because they talk in the newsroom afterwards and she seems okay with it after she saw him with Whisper Girl or whoever. She seems cool with it. They go to Starbucks and have a Frappuccino, I guess.
I didn't get that she only went to make him jealous, but I did get that she was kind of happy that he was jealous.
Sure.
Just fine. The question is, have we ever done anything to make a significant other
intentionally
jealous?
Make a love interest jealous?
Yes.
What did you do?
Okay, I assume we're all going to answer
this. Yeah.
I don't know about anything specifically, but at times where I felt like I need to kind of charge this up, if this is going to last, I might chat with some lady at a party a little more than I should or whatever. And then you get that reaction you want, like, okay, I do care.
Right.
I'd like to escalate this from like a friendship or a casual thing to a more serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never like super malicious, but I might talk to a girl at a party a little more than I should, because then in the car it's like, hey, you and me.
We're done.
Maybe we can make this happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Am I right?
I mean, everybody does this, right? Demi?
No, I've never done that.
You've never tried to make someone jealous?
I've never done
Am
that
Am I
either.
A monster?
No, you're not a monster.
I think that's a thing a lot of people do. I'm very much, if I have a problem, I'll either confront it or shut down. I don't really...
I feel like you shut down.
I definitely shut down, but I'm not the kind of... I've never played up that jealousy angle. Yeah. At least not to my recollection. I'm sure I've done something small, but it's never been like...
It works. Give it a shot.
But I guess Rory isn't quite doing that in this scene, is what we're saying.
Feel she, there was no, certainly nothing.
So what's her aim then? If she's into Logan, why did she go to the party with Robert?
I think she would have played it up more if Logan hadn't made the first mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Logan was a man...
Oh, shit.
This stuff wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
He'd be like, look, you're hot shit. We're in Stars Hollow. There's not a lot of cool people here, and you're awesome. Why don't you and I be boyfriend, girlfriend? He wouldn't be like, hey, maybe I'll whisper in some girl's ear at brunch. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
He would want to make that a serious relationship.
Yeah. He hasn't stepped up. It is getting...
And the fact that she has to do this stuff makes him an unworthy suitor for her.
It's getting harder and harder for me to be Team Logan.
No, you're completely
right.
That's
not wrong. It's difficult. At this point in time, it's a difficult thing to maintain my position.
The thing about...
You like Logan?
I do. I mean, out of the three. Here's the thing.
What is he saying that's interesting?
What does he say that's interesting? Well, it was an episode you didn't see.
I watched a bunch, and he was bringing me Nilla wafers. He had nothing.
Bringing you Nilla wafers,
just
is that how we describe it?
Just boring as hell.
He is pretty boring.
And the other guy...
I find him to be very charismatic.
Too, but he had something, I guess.
Robert's going to snap and choke someone.
Yeah, Robert's not great.
Robert's a bad story.
I was viscerally upset whenever Robert opened his mouth. He sounds like he's narrating a book on tape every time he speaks.
Yeah, I couldn't place the quality in his voice, but there was something that really
like
upset me.
And also, that whole thing...
annoying.
Do you think he does that thing every time he dates a girl where he's like, I've got a joke that I'm going to rattle off that'll get you to your knee? Like, what? The whole thing where he's like, here's my life plan. I was talking to everything except for the last... Like, that was crazy.
That's not a genre of humor that I connect with in people.
Right.
That's like, I'm going to be a horrible monster, LOL.
I mean, it's not even horrible monster. It's just like, you're just rattling off a joke that I think you think will work. And it's too long. It has no punchline. It's just bad.
We're really getting into joke structure here with Robert.
I feel like he's
funnier than Logan.
Well,
is he?
Brick wall is funnier than Logan.
Well, he attempted a joke, which is more than I can say for Logan.
Oh, Logan dresses like a joke.
Oh, shit.
Should we get into it?
Yep, let's do it. Fashion report, guys. Okay, let's get into it. Well, the first slide is Logan.
No, that's Robert Goulet.
That's not Robert Goulet!
It's Robert Goulet.
No, it's not. This is them after the date.
The sexy mortician made it out.
Oh, man. No, I don't like it. But what I do
is that
like...
Is a turtleneck?
Yeah.
It is a turtleneck. It's pretty indefensible.
I don't even... It was a sweater turtleneck?
Oh,
he looks so big. Like, it looks like it's just enveloping him entirely.
I like Rory's coat, though.
Yeah, it's a great coat. She wore that in the last episode, too.
Yeah, got the pink coat going on. Let's talk about... I really need to
These
get
two
this...
don't like each... Look at this still. They don't like each other. He doesn't respect her at all.
What would respecting her look like? How would he be holding her different in this picture? He's got his arm around his waist, her waist.
Yeah, something like what Demi's doing right now.
So Demi's putting a hand on Pat's shoulder.
I don't buy these two. Look at her face. She's like, get off of me.
Let's talk about Michelle's shirt when he comes back from L.A. Let's talk about this because...
It's a shirt?
I know, and given the lettering underneath it, it's supposed to be a palm tree.
It looks like a weed leaf.
It looks like our last guest at the live show that we did here.
Coffee bean and weed leaf.
Yeah,
coffee weed bean leaf and... ever. That's weird. I do see it now, but... Also, what's a shirt that has a picture of a palm tree that just says palm tree? Is that a fucking flashcard? What is this? What's this belt?
He's wearing a belt
so
that looks like the thing that they put on the cover of the Neverending Story book.
It's a lie.
What's up with the one zipper there?
And let's be honest, Lorelai's dressed like a bag woman.
A bag woman? No.
I realize that's not the point. What is she wearing?
Okay, so this is her ensemble at the inn. It's a blue. What is it?
Did you guys like her hot stepping out in the town dress? I liked it a lot.
This hot stepping out in the town dress?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a little too sparkly, but I like it.
Okay. I liked the blue thing Laura was
wearing. Did you like her talking with her daughter about how the guy should come and get it?
Yeah. Oh, there was also a pretty hardcore, well, not, it wasn't hardcore, it's pretty softcore, but there was a joke.
Hardcore where, for the WB.
Because they, her and Luke were talking about speed dial for a couple of minutes for some reason, and at one point she says, do you want me to put you on vibrate? That's a that kind of joke, right?
It's a sex joke.
I'm not wrong.
I think so.
And I did. I forgot that.
It was erotic.
Yeah, I forgot that vibrator joke on Gilmore Girls.
With this, what is the Gilmore clan's obsession with sparkles and
pink?
A tiny coat? Not even pink. Just like,
is she a, like, what's going on the left? Is she a seamstress?
Yeah, she is. She is a seamstress.
Okay, that's a weird, quiet, like Z plot of Lorelai's story. Is that she's very good at sewing.
Right. Well, they bring it up when they're bringing back the ribbons to Kirk and they're collecting them.
Every so often, but it's just
I
like...
I think this is great, but I prefer the dress she had with the pink in the middle.
The pink in the middle? Oh!
When she goes out to the RV.
Oh, that's right. Well, I forgot to get
but,
that.
But, like, this is very similar to what she wears at wedding... or at
Wedding Mel Blues,
wedding, and it's very similar to what Rory wears
that was a
to
good one, Wedding Mel Blues.
Friday night dinners.
Well, I want to talk about the outfit at the end, too, because the shirt she's wearing... seems to be blending in with the wall, right? I'm not wrong. Like, she's... maybe it's a metaphor. Like, she's so invested in work.
Her shirt is made of wallpaper.
Yeah, it looks like it a little
bit.
It's
very Garden State-y, but I liked it a lot. I really dug the...
I don't like it against that wallpaper, though. Sorry to be harsh. I want to talk about Luke's leather jacket for, like, a million years.
What is this? What is this look?
It's the last gasp of the 90s, I think.
He's like an extra and Analyze This.
He's totally an extra.
He looks like a bouncer.
He could be. And this is Kirk waking up in a little Justice League.
Well, Kirk's nude also in the other one.
Right.
They're both pretty cool with it.
They're I mean, they've seen it before. He ran in front of the
Terminator.
Naked.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like that he likes Justice League and has a little blankie of them.
Is that Justice
and
League?
And no one agrees that Kirk's some sort of real deranged sex perv.
No, this is a... you're an island on this one. I'm
Here's the thing. Kirk has shown Lorelai his naked form 3 times now. Once in photograph. Twice in the buff.
In the real life.
And has asked her out the 1 time. I think he's a sex pervert just for Lorelai, though. I don't buy the meatloaf. Maybe he's got some coffee beans piled up somewhere.
In this episode in particular, he is sexually obsessed with the food that Luke prepares.
No, he's just childlike. He's too childlike to be a sex pervert.
He's obsessed in the last one, too, when he's like, this food is great, even though it's literal garbage.
But that's not sexual, is it?
I don't know.
this is a different side of the debate I'm not usually on.
Leave me alone. I'm eating burnt toast. Prepared by my sexual overlord, Luke.
My sexual overlord. Oh, it's so harsh. I think he's too childlike to be a sexual threat.
All right.
That's what they said about Michael Jackson.
Oh
my God. Oh my God. That is literally what they said about Michael Jackson. Everyone was just like, oh, you don't do it to Michael, man. Anyone but Michael. For what it's worth, I'm on your side, but it is literally what... never mind, let's go.
Oh, and then I just want to give a stars holla to Logan and unnamed girl.
I thought it was Sarah Paulson at first.
It looks like Olivia Wilde, too.
It looks like Olivia Wilde. It totally
does. I'm going to tell you this. This might not be popular.
She's horny on something.
That girl's gorgeous.
No, she's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Why would that not be popular?
That's fine.
And it's an odd choice to make her that, like, approachably gorgeous and cool. Because she should look sort of fake, plastically hot, so that when you see him flirting, you're like, well, that's not a viable threat to Rory. But that girl is a threat to Rory.
But we're supposed to see it as a threat, right?
A little bit, yeah.
As Rory. That's true as well.
White.
Oh, man.
But like...
white is what you said?
I did say white. Why do you think...
I would be married to that girl for 24 years.
What happens?
No more, no less?
Why you end it?
One for each Bond
midlife
movie?
Midlife crisis, I assume.
Fair enough. You buy a Ferrari, you drive until you can't see the sun.
Yeah.
I get it.
I love that jacket.
I do like the jacket, but it's the same...
Do you want us to leave up this picture for the rest of the show, Patrick?
No, that's all right. I didn't even look at her before because I was so upset with the situation.
Yeah.
I was like, this
you were
loser.
A mess. Yeah.
But now looking at it, I'm like, I get it all. And you know what? He should be with her because he doesn't deserve Rory. He doesn't deserve Rory.
Oh, shit.
But does he deserve this girl?
Applause, but I don't get it.
Does he deserve your...
Do you all love Logan or something?
Some of them do.
Can one person who likes
no.
Logan...
Oh, boy.
Tell me why you like Logan. One person who likes Logan.
What are you asking of this person?
I want one sentence of a positive thing about Logan.
One sentence and that's it.
I like that he doesn't kill anyone.
All right.
We're like, one sentence, anyone?
Kevin, I ask this of you as well.
You know who else didn't kill anyone? Jared from Subway.
And Michael Jackson.
You like him?
Oh, no. I should have answered that
first before
quipping.
You know what? They had some pretty good qualities, too. Yeah. Was there a sentence over there? Someone had one?
I think he brings out adventure for her. She's really bold around him.
Does she need to be, though?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's two sentences. That's two. Right. We're going double now.
I completely respect that answer. I completely respect that
answer.
But would you say she should marry him?
No.
Should she marry any of these dudes?
No. That's the thing.
Every guy that I've seen on the show, I'm like, you're in your dreams, you're as good as a Rory Gilmore. In your dreams.
Does Rory... Here's a question.
Yeah, shouldn't date Kirk.
He couldn't handle Kirk.
No, he couldn't handle
Logan?
Kirk.
Dude, he's been training on Meatloaf. Yeah, he can't handle that.
You'll find Meatloaf is a lot more open to experimenting sexually than an actual human being.
He'll go for anything.
And
but
I'm
he
speaking
can't go
from experience.
Don't clap. You weren't on. You didn't care.
By the way, you never did my mashup that I asked you.
I'm working on it. Sorry. Okay. This is
an offstage conversation.
Yes. So is half of this podcast.
Does Rory need a little Luke? You know what I mean? Here's what I'm saying. If we agree in the macro sense, none of them are right for her, is what Rory needs similar to her mother and compliments her the way that Luke does, or does she need something totally different?
Well, yeah, I agree, but you're not going to find an 18-year-old guy who brings that Luke heat. That's
Luke heat.
That's the heat of an older man, a Pat Walsh type.
Yeah. We're a Pat Walsh type.
A guy with a little gray in his beard, baby. That's the kind of guy we're talking
Someone
about.
Someone who's hot shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Somebody who's going to be like, you're being stupid or whatever. You know, like somebody who's going to just be like down with her, but give her great advice on things and tell her the truth. And Logan's not telling her the truth. And I cite as an example this picture.
Evidence one.
We have an open relationship, so it's cool. This is disgusting.
The more that
and she should demand better from her life. And I'm sorry for those of you that are in open relationships, but she should demand better.
I mean, it is kind of the story that they're telling where the bar for Rory keeps getting lower and lower and lower throughout the season.
And it should be
getting
higher and higher.
Right. But, I mean, is that what happens in college? Is like your bar gets higher?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So, let's close out the fashion report.
Do we not want to talk about any of the costumes of the party?
Oh, I mean, yeah, we could.
There's a dude in a Pei-Mei costume back there that is fucking killing it.
Oh, yeah, the Pei-Mei was doing
so
pretty good.
This is right before Inglourious Basterds.
This was 2005. So.
Oh, they could have dressed like Nazis before. If they just waited a little bit.
Yes. Silly Nazis on Gilmore Girls.
I mean, we had one last episode.
A 60-year-old Asian guy dressed as the guy from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Walking around. There's like two Jackie Brown costumes, as we discussed. There's also not a lot of Reservoir Dogs costumes.
I saw a few, but it was just, yeah. They were kind of lazy. It was just a suit.
And he's Bruce Willis.
The thing about the Bruce Willis
thing make sense that he's being the least good part of Pulp Fiction.
Oh, sure. Oh, wow.
Because he's the least good part of Rory's life.
I like the Rory... Oh, shit. Do you like how quickly Rory put together her costume? I think Patrick Walsh is taking a sip of victory right now.
Sure is.
It almost looks like Kermit, but that's none of my business.
This is a medium at Del Taco. I said, this is a bucket of beverage that I've been drinking steadily for what feels like 6 hours. This is a medium.
Oh, man. Any other costumes? Did you like the background dancing in this scene?
It's flawless. Go back and watch it.
Put it on mute. The scene is great, and there should have been more Pulp Fiction material, I think.
We should have been introduced to this from the very beginning, and then see Finn going around handing out invites, like, in costume, and other people getting into it. This is what I want to see, even though it's like, whatever, I don't care about the Logan thing. The thing I did want to say about this is, I don't believe for a second that Logan had to buy that. He had that robe in his closet.
He had the...
He was like, oh, how convenient. I'll wear my wife beater, of which I probably have 70.
And that's fair.
Because you know what his future is.
He makes wife beaters. What are you guys thinking?
That's a guy that occasionally hits his wife.
Am I wrong?
I think the reboot opens.
No. Maybe we don't speculate on this.
All right. Do you guys think the new episodes are going to be mildly disappointing or extremely disappointing?
Here's the thing. I mean, I know you're joking, but we are doing it. We're building them up. We should have just gone, that's great, and went on with our lives. We're going to be disappointed.
That's what we did, basically.
No, we made an entire episode
Arrested Development. So why would this be any different?
I thought Arrested was fine.
No, you didn't.
I did. I truly did. I've had this conversation 3 times this week. It's crazy. But I thought it was fine. I think reboots can happen. I think, oh, God, we are doing another revival episode. I think reboots can happen, but I think it's very difficult for dramas because they have to come back and tell a story that they have continued. With a comedy like Arrested, they just fucking jump forward. I don't give a shit, you know? With a serial thing like X-Files, they can just go like, oh, the gang's back. Now here's new alien stories. With something like Gilmore Girls or Twin Peaks, they've got time to catch up on, and that's
what I'm
real
excited
about
Twin Peaks, but with each of these things, I'm like, Pat, don't get excited because it's going to suck.
Exactly.
However, that Ash vs. the Evil Dead pilot, folks.
Very good.
It's very good.
I don't know if you're Evil Dead people, but it's a great pilot. It's really fun.
Friends of the show, Sean Clements and Dom McDierks.
Yeah, friends of myself.
Yeah. Well, all right.
No, they are. They're friends of mine.
I for all time. I have faith it's going to be good, but I'm keeping my expectations
cautiously
very low.
Optimistic is the motto.
Right. And. Yeah. Even that optimism is like, just if I pretend that I already know it's terrible, I'm going to go in and just go like, guys, these are the best episodes they've ever written. That's how it works with me.
When you got the revival news, did it feel like someone extended your prison sentence on this podcast?
Yes.
Did it?
No.
Oh.
Have you guys discussed...
It's 4 episodes.
Have you discussed how Paladino has just recently come out and said that she was really hurt that they didn't ask her to come back for the finale of the show?
She said that years ago, I believe.
Well, I just read it.
Oh, well... Yeah.
I wasn't on the message boards, believe it or not, till very recently.
Well, speaking of the message boards, what a great transition. We need to go back in the time machine to the Television Without Pity.
Hit that time machine again.
Message boards, TWAP for short, and read how people reacted to this episode in real time for a segment we call...
Hookah Shaka, Hookah, Hookah,
I can't TWAP this feeling.
That's a good one.
Great.
Dancing Baby from Ally McBeal.
Yeah. So one thing that I'll kind of skim over is that most people thought there wasn't enough touching for the reunion of Luke and Lorelai, that they didn't like kiss and make out enough in this episode.
He pawed her at the end of that last episode. Why do they? They're like,
that was a great moment, but then this one starts and it's just like back to normal.
I loved that. I don't need more reconciliation.
I don't know how much like fallout, or not fallout, but just like the ripple effect of like, oh, it's all new again. Oh, I guess I'm back here. I mean, they did it a little bit at the beginning.
I just think they should be treating that Luke and Lorelai romance like we're talking about one of the greatest romances
Romeo
of
and
all
Juliet?
Time. They should be treating it with the respect it deserves.
Right.
And did those two bone down in real life? Do we know?
They did not.
You'll have to ask them.
They did not.
I wish they would have.
So...
There's still time.
I love Lauren Graham.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Bad Santa?
Oh, Max? We all saw Max.
What's Max?
Exactly.
Oh, about the dog?
Yes.
The war dog.
Yeah.
War dog.
That sounds like something I'll be watching on a plane in about
See,
3 months.
If they had named it War Dog,
yeah.
We'd all be talking about how great War Dog is. This would be the War Dog.
Like
dog.
We all talk about how great War Horse is.
Yes.
You and I were just talking about that backstage.
I say nay to that.
All
North
of our favorite
Enders.
War Horse memories. Wait, what?
Wait, what just happened?
Your boos give me strength.
Was that a boo for the I say nay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I echo that.
Your boos give me strength. Northender says, hearty congratulations to the writers of 8 o'clock at the Oasis and Women of Questionable Morals on the happy occasion of the end of their worst episode ever trophy joint custody agreement. Which is a long way of saying this is the worst episode of Gilmore Girls.
Terrific. That person sat at their computer and was like, God, I gotta take them down.
There were some drafts.
The worst episode ever.
Did you use a comment on Television Without Pity? You seem like you did.
I did, and I got banned for it.
You got a little too strong.
Yeah.
I have some IMDb comments that I hope nobody unearths.
Wait, what's your username on IMDb?
Of course I wouldn't tell you. But I would get on there and be like, this was the worst movie of all time. You know, I did that a few times.
I'm just going to search for my grandpa burned me 07.
My grandpa burned me 69. Look, I'm not suggesting I 69 my grandpa. Would you calm down?
Lula.
Does this show hold like a G rating?
Yeah, dude.
Not anymore. Lula writes in, I thought the parallel was overdrawn, but it's interesting. Emily interferes because she thinks she knows what's right for Lorelai when she really doesn't understand who Lorelai is at all. And Lorelai won't interfere or even ask questions when it's clear to her that Rory's behaving in completely uncharacteristic ways without really understanding the motivation. Lorelai's afraid to play the mom card and drive Rory away the same way Emily has done for her. Lorelai not stepping in is her way of respecting Rory's right to make her own decisions. It's at least a little misguided. Question mark? Like, okay, so here's the question I posed to both of you. Should Lorelai have stepped in?
With Logan?
Well, yeah, with Rory and been like, hey, no, that's messed up.
She's tried that with two different men now, and I feel like it's kind of
she did, too.
Backfired.
She was like, I'm gonna throw a brick at him or whatever else. You know, she expressed that she was pissed, but she was like, okay. She did the right thing. She was like, if that's what you want to do, and cool, fine. She's going to talk about it behind her back with Luke.
Sure.
That's not cool.
Also...
But
how did you guys feel on that subject of like what to do in that given circumstance when Luke just turns on his cell phone, speedballs Lorelai, and puts it down? Oh. That he does not talk back to Emily or rebut at all.
When he pulls the panic button at the bank, that was a great move.
Yeah.
I just thought it was brilliant. I think it's crazy that Lorelai was so close that she could get there in the time it takes for Emily to finish her sentence. But
the way Luke handles Emily whenever she comes in, which is just like I'm just going to close my eyes and wait till you get out of my restaurant, is the appropriate way to handle her.
Right.
Because he can't shoot back at this old
woman. I thought you were going to say shoot her.
No, I mean, he can't like yell in her face.
Connecticut doesn't have open carry laws.
He also doesn't give her any sort of respect because she doesn't deserve it.
Sure. Not in this instance, for sure.
Young hearts, you got to be free tonight.
It really bums me out, and I'm even going to stop making the argument that like it's out of character for Emily. It's weird, but it's just bumming me out, the story that they're telling with her character, because it's not fun to watch.
I literally think the only thing that was out of character was the moment when she goes to Christopher. I think everything else has been pretty in character.
Right. It's just a bummer to see, because I like kind of like a lot of like Doug Benson, and most of our guests like it when the Gilmore Girls get along. I like it when all three of the Gilmore Girls get along.
That's very few episodes, though.
That's not
It's not drama.
It's TV. The Hateful Eight, speaking about Tarantino, you think it's going to be eight people sitting in a cabin being like, I agree with everything
you
guys are saying.
No, we got a good point. High five, buddy.
Did anybody bring a board game? If we're stuck in this cabin, we might as well play Yahtzee.
Oh, you know what? You know what I realized? We'd never close out the fashion report. We need to do that real quick.
Fashion.
And let's open it up to a little audience Q&A.
Audience Q&A. Part two.
Where we go into the audience.
I'm not filming for time,
and
if that's what you're doing.
Answer your questions. Now. So if anyone has a quick question, we can take one or two.
Oh, my gosh.
Short on time.
It's bright again.
Now I can see everybody.
If anyone has a question about this episode. Oh, here. We'll put a moratorium on this question, which is, why don't you like this boy? We've gotten a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
So you can email us. We'll probably respond. But if anyone has a question about this episode, we got one in the third. Watch out, Patty.
Ghost chair. I hate this.
Your name, your rating for the episode, and your question.
My name is Sarah. I give it 5 out of 10 Michelle's Winnebagoes.
That's right. At best.
So Michelle goes on The Price is Right. What kind of t-shirt does he wear? What crazy thing does he put on his t-shirt to get on stage?
Cinco to Plinko, bitches.
Cinco de Plinko.
He has some terrible pun in French that he has to explain to Bob Barker.
Plinko de Mayo, son.
Plinko de Mayo. That's wonderful. Any other questions before we wrap it up?
I was like, will you take one?
I got so much more to give.
Were there a lot of people with Logan questions? Hello, what is your name?
Hi, I'm Tanner. My question is, if you guys had to recast Pulp Fiction with the characters in Stars Hollow, I know we've talked about Kirk's questionable sex dungeon. So he might be one of the creepers.
He's the gimp for sure.
Yeah. Oh, Kirk is definitely the gimp. Yeah, that's an easy one. That's a slam dunk.
I think Kirk is the gimp, and Kirk is also the guy that gets shot in the face by accident.
Yeah.
Oh.
He is.
The Jules, the Samuel L. Jackson role, would be filled by one of the many black people in Stars Hollow.
Maybe the cast.
Too many to count.
Or
actually
the teacher.
Can't think of a single one that I've seen in any of the episodes I've
seen. Taylor would be Ving Rhames, right?
Would be Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Only the getting hit by a car part.
Oh, okay, then who's Ving Rhames?
Who is Ving Rhames? Oh, George Anthony Bell. No, I can't. I'm trying to think of anyone who's in this world.
Logan would be Eric Emily. Stoltz, the guy in the robe who's like trying to get people high and has nothing to really offer society.
Jess is Uma Thurman.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why is Jess Uma Thurman?
Because he's a square.
Oh, shit.
I hate Jess. No. Who would Logan be?
Well, I think Rory is Uma Thurman.
By nature of being the central female lead?
Well, no. I mean, she's also got kind of a dark quality, and she also seems, in these episodes I'm watching, pretty ready to bone down. And
yeah. Bone
Uma Thurman in Pulp
down.
Fiction seemed ready to explore her sexuality in a way as well.
Sure.
She was married, but seemed very interested in John Travolta.
Hi, I'm Kim. I give it like a 6 out of 10. Too much Michelle time, I think, for this one. But question, what ever happened with Luke and a raccoon in the past to make him so vengeful?
This is referring to the scene when Luke goes into the garage and picks up a shovel. But I guess he wasn't going to kill the raccoon. He was just trying to spook him, right?
I hate raccoons. I didn't question
story?
That at all. I own a home, not to brag.
Wow.
It's that intern money.
But I have a deck, and there's a light sensor. So whenever there's something on my deck, the light turns on. And it's horrifying. Like, if you're in bed at 2 in the morning and the deck light turns on, it means there's something out on the deck. And every time, it's like a 120-pound raccoon waddling around my deck like it owns the place. I hate raccoons, and I don't feel he was wrong in grabbing a shovel to kill the raccoon.
That checks out.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I want to believe that the raccoon killed his father.
That's how Luke's dad died?
Guys, we talk about this. This is the show about death. You gotta own this. Do we know how his father died?
People die, folks. I'm sorry.
Not me, though. Do we know how Luke's father died?
Are you immortal?
Yeah. We'll talk backstage. I've got time.
Oh, that's great. You're like a high.
Do we know how Luke's father died, for real? So we're going to find out, is what you're saying.
Never show up
a boating accident. His boat wasn't well made, and he drowned trying to sail it.
So Luke is trying to fix it just to like please the ghost, so he can pass on to the afterlife.
That's his unfinished business.
Great.
I don't know if we have any insight. Maybe that's the reboot. Maybe that's the revival.
I want to know more about Luke and his family and his life.
I do too.
You'll get to know a little more.
Maybe each of the seasons will be like, oh, one episode is entirely about Luke and the other one's about Lorelai and the one's about Rory, and then
does anyone here feel like you found your Luke? Yeah? Congratulations.
Oh, that's great. That's really
good.
Great.
Where is he tonight?
Oh,
you know,
just
what?
Like Luke.
He should be.
That's what Luke would do.
On a Monday. Luke would be at home sleeping.
Luke wouldn't be doing this dumb bullshit.
Congratulations. I hope to be someone's Luke someday. You know?
Are you not someone's Luke now?
You okay? I'm great.
Okay.
I'm great.
Should we rate the episode?
Yeah, let's rate it. Start us off.
Never been someone's
Let's
Luke.
Let's get the rating spotlight. We'll give our ratings in the spotlight.
Something that I think upsets me the most is I think I've been multiple people's Jess.
Let's get the house lights down.
And I think that's maybe why I resent Jess so much, because he's got emotional issues that help him, that sort of push him away from Rory as a person. I think that's not good to have in a relationship. And I've been that person, and it doesn't end healthily. So I don't want to see a character make that mistake, you know? I'm Jess.
Is this
I'm Jess. I don't need to see another Jess on the screen. I live that lifestyle, all right?
Folks, this is what this show should and could be.
If you host it.
And everyone who gasps when somebody reveals an intimate moment about themselves, this is life, people. Share.
I've made
We're
some
all
mistakes.
Trying to get through this together.
I had my Rory and I let her slip through my fingers because I couldn't take the pressure. I miss you, Pamela.
Anderson?
Yes. We had a thing. Just before Tommy Lee, what's his name?
You met on the set of Barbed Wire.
Yes. I was the set dresser. I said, just wear the bra. You don't need anything else, Pam. You look great.
What's your rating for this episode?
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were doing a real thing. I would.
No, go back to the rating spotlight.
Oh, my God. I would
dance
give
for
it.
Me.
I would give it 6 out of 10. Yeah, 6 out of 10. Ooh, what are things in this episode? I've already forgotten all of it. 6 out of 10 dust bowls, like whatever happens. We didn't talk about so much stuff that happens in the show. Live shows, baby. I think that this is a good episode for some things, but there's so much of it that I'm just like, I don't care about. Like, we didn't even talk about the Michelle subplot because it's
unimportant. Because it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's so lightweight.
Although, I loved hearing Michelle talk about how much she loves L.A., after we had a gab with Yannick about how much he hates it.
That's true.
I was like, that's great.
All right, we'll rate our episodes the regular way.
What? I just bared my soul and told you guys about how I'm a Jess at heart, and that's why I hate Jess. And
I'll bare my soul backstage.
Oh.
Among other things.
I appreciated that you did that.
And it took
and
a lot of courage.
I don't even know who Jess is, but I appreciate that you did that.
Oh, my God, you don't.
Who's Jess?
Grandmother.
Oh, let's get that spotlight.
Grandmother?
No, it's an ex. Of okay. His.
Oh, hers. Was it Padalecki?
No, it was Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia Gaga.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Padalecki follows me on Twitter.
What are the
I
last
appreciate
names?
That.
Are you going to recite another tweet? Maybe when he faved?
I'm not.
I think
not.
You should. They're great tweets. Follow Patrick on Twitter.
Thanks, guys. The Patrick Walsh. You don't have to. At the Patrick Walsh. Folks. I'm going to use my time tonight to say...
Find your light, Pat.
If you're with a Logan, I need you to dump him, like, tonight.
Dump your Logan!
And Los Angeles is full of really attractive dudes and attractive girls and everything else. And I meet my friends, girlfriends, and boyfriends, and I'm like, what are you doing? Okay? And attractive is fine for, like, 3 months. You have some great sex, but it's not going to take you where you want to go. You need to look for your Luke, okay?
Amen.
You need to look for your Luke.
That's right.
If you don't have a Luke in your life, and you have a Logan, let's say, you can do better, and you will do better. And you feel like, maybe I can't. Maybe this guy's like kind of attractive, and I'm kind of having a good time with him, whatever else. You can do better, and you will do better. And if you're scared to break up with that person, be it him, be it her, don't be, because you're worth it. Because you're Lorelai Gilmore. And you'll find your Luke. That's all I want to say. I finished that drink. I feel sick. It's like 36 ounces of Diet Coke.
I feel like you guys have drifted away from me throughout the course of the show.
Hey, what's your rating?
Because oh my God, be emotional and you're closed off.
I'm not closed.
It's because I don't want... Unless you prove yourself now in that spotlight, baby.
I don't want any of your bad Logan decisions rubbing off on all good guys over here.
I yeah. haven't made a decision quite yet.
Get up there. You're a beautiful woman, Kevin.
Thank you.
Are you in a K-pop band? Is that what it is?
I wish. I'll address this rating to my parents. Because they might see this this video one day or listen to this. Long after I've walked into the ocean, after ending this podcast, like literally the day after, just going straight in, because it wasn't enough. What I did with this show wasn't enough. We could have had more listeners. We could have had more guests. We could have talked to more people, but we didn't. We just did this. Look at this. This is a mess. We're here, it's 12:15, it's UCB. What's going on? So I give this episode 6 out of 10 golden ropes.
Oh, golden ropes. I thought you said ropes. Did you give it a rating?
I didn't give it a rating, but I give it 5 out of 10 Logan's stupid gold robes.
Ooh.
Of the ones I've seen, it wasn't one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a slight episode, right?
It's a slight episode.
It's a very...
The RV stuff, it's not great, folks.
I would say probably the worst of the season, but it's been a pretty strong season. Wow. I think I gave it a
But after a good run of episodes, I'd say it's the worst of...
We had a turkey just a few episodes
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. So, Well,
a turkey. Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Happy Thanksgiving. By the time
this
comes out,
it is November.
Guys, give it up for Patrick Walsh. Patrick, where can people find you, and what's something in pop culture, a movie, a TV show, music, a book that you'd like to plug in the spirit of the pop culture saturated Gilmore Girls?
Okay, I'm on Vine, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, at the Patrick Walsh. And things I love right now, I love Fargo, the show.
Yep.
Very good.
I really do. And
Fargo's all you need.
Is that okay?
That's great.
It's great.
It's wonderful. I think we've both plugged it at separate times on the show.
We have. I'm at Kevin T. Porter, and I'll plug the music of Carole King. She's this kind of indie artist that she has a few albums out, but she needs your support. You can stream her on Spotify. She has some videos on YouTube, and yeah, that's
there
my plug.
There was Carole Keen?
Carole, yeah, with a K.
Okay, I'll
King
bing,
with a C.
I'll have to bing it. I don't listen to music nowadays.
Of course.
Master of None was pretty great, too.
It was. It was wonderful. I plugged it last episode. It was.
Indeed.
It was pretty great.
I'm at Electrolemon everywhere. When is this coming out?
Like 3 weeks from now.
Okay. Just for the people in LA, I'm going to be doing Eliza Skinner's show, Turnt Up. It's a rap battle. A few people from the show have been on before. I don't know how to rap, so that's going to be fun. But if you're, you know, still in town December 1st, come on out and watch me rap against actual comedians and, you know, embarrass myself at UCB Franklin, I'm pretty sure. And I want to plug, there is an album called Cool Uncle by Bobby Caldwell and Jack Splash. They teamed up to form a band called Cool Uncle, and it's like really funky and nice. Like they have guest stars like Jesse Ware and Mayor Hawthorne, and unfortunately CeeLo Green. But everyone makes a mistake.
Unfortunately, because he
is a terrible man.
Some girl and allegedly had sex with her.
Yes.
Okay.
Bummer.
That's right.
So that's a really nice album I've been streaming, and so you should too.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming out to the show tonight. Get up for Patrick Walsh once more. And there's only one thing left for us to do.
It was a teenage
dance party!
This is the quietest dance party.
It's a quiet dance party.
Crowd. The quietest crowd. The new Grimes album
there
is great, too.
Grimes?
Have you all heard the new Grimes
I haven't
album?
Heard the new, but I love her old.
Fantastic. Good night, Mommy, I like a lot.
Every time I turn around, I forget that you guys can probably see my ass through this, so I'm gonna Bernie and pretend that it's not a move to cover myself.
But when Pierre found works a little
oh, yeah.
I feel very uncomfortable.
I could do this for the whole hour.
The quietest dance party I've ever been to. We're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there.
Where?
On the next train.
Okay.
When you leave, I will follow anywhere. That you tell me to, if you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Jump up.
Where you need, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to, if you need.
Grandpa George,
Edward
Herman,
I will follow.
They're all dead.
I like that song.
We're all entitled here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.